And how are you?
Hello, Mickey dear. How nice.
Have you started your machine?
Oh, yes. I have to start it before we begin.
How are you, Daisy Jones?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Thank you.
Daisy, to be honest with you, I'm half crazy over the top of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. I use a suite from the seat of a bicycle built for two.
Jolly good. Thank you.
Do you remember all them old ones?
Yes, rather. I'm an old one myself.
She's my lady love. She is my dove. My lady love. She's no girl for sitting down to croon. She's the only girl Laguna knows. I know she likes me. I know she likes me because she said so. She is the lily of Laguna. She is my lily and my dove.
That's good.
I don't tell you. I was flat.
You were flat, yes. You were flat.
Very
good.
Oh, I like to sing, don't you?
Oh, yes. I think it's very nice.
It's your birthday very soon, Daisy.
No, dear. A long way off.
Well, look, can you tell me why somebody here is referring to an anniversary birthday in May?
May?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, not offhand.
May the 16th.
Good gracious, March the 16th.
March, is it?
Well, March was my dad's birthday, and he's been in spirit since 54 years, I work out.
Well, I wonder if I got that mixed up, but I know it's the 16th, and I thought it was May. It may be March. It sounds similar. It's the 16th.
Mm.
Yes, it is, you know.
Yes.
You're a funny little thing, ain't you?
We're all funny in part.
How old are you, Daisy Judge?
Oh, dear.
Again, I'm 73.
Well, I think you're pretty good for 73, don't you?
Oh, I do indeed.
You'll go on to 93, I bet.
Do you think so?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
I've got a brother who's 90-something.
Who's Alfie?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Alfred?
Oh, he's a great friend of mine in spirit.
Well, there's a man here says, well, I tell Daisy that he is Alfred,
mm-hmm.
and he wishes to be remembered and sends his love to her.
There, how nice.
And there's also someone else here called Lou.
Yes, Aunt Lou.
She sends her love to you.
There.
And she's here with Emmy.
Who?
Emmy.
Oh, well, I've got an aunt.
Emily.
Aunt Emmy, I've got.
Yes. There's a lot of your people here today.
There.
I don't know whether Brother John's going to stand in the background for a change.
No.
What?
Don't
you want your own people then?
Oh, I like them, but I don't want Brother John standing in the background.
Well, I think he would be prepared to for a change.
No.
Wouldn't do any harm, would it?
Yes, sir, I think it would.
Oh, you are funny. Most people come, all they want are their own people. They're not interested in nobody else's
well,
thing.
I'm not the same
and you're just
people.
The opposite, ain't you?
Yes.
You go trotting around, don't you, with your bag,
that's
and
right.
You go to this place and that place, and you get up on that there rostrum, as you call it, and you spout and you spout and you spout, don't you? But you know, you get a lot of wonderful help, don't you? You get impressed what to say and everything.
Oh, yes.
You're a good soul. I like you.
I'm glad you do.
Everybody over here loves you.
Oh, I'm glad. I like you too, because I feel you're a mate of mine.
Well, of course I'm a mate of yours.
I've known you a long time.
Not everyone's like old Daisy Judge, you know.
Aren't they?
No bleeding fear, they ain't.
Oh, Timothy, you mustn't say that.
Not for me. I don't approve of swearing.
Oh, bleeding ain't swearing.
It is.
Oh, no, it ain't.
It is.
You don't read your Bible, then. There's more rough words than that
yes,
in the Bible.
Yes, don't say you've got to say them.
Well, why put me in a what's an holy book?
Well,
then. What, I mean, that's
well,
just what
I don't
know. I don't understand people. I believe in calling a shovel.
Yes, but it's unnecessary and ugly, I think.
Oh, well, I suppose it's what you've been used to.
True.
I mean, after all said and done, words are words.
Anyway, never mind.
I mean, you get some people call God God, don't they? Some people say Jehovah, and some say the Almighty, and some say something else. It all means the same thing.
Mm.
I don't know why people get so...
Never mind.
You know, I think it's silly. It only... It's, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
Mm, still, we've all got our license,
and yet people sing in the church, don't they? The blood of the lamb and all that.
I don't.
Well, I mean, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't see what difference it makes.
No, all right. Don't argue.
Oh, I'm not arguing with you.
No, don't.
Because I'm sure I should win. You're a funny little thing. Somebody was behind you the other day when you was buying something.
What was that, dear?
Well, I don't know. Somebody says you was in the haberdashery, whatever that is.
No, I wasn't.
Well, I don't know. What's haberdashery?
Well, it's where they sell sundries, you know, cottons and things and all that sort of thing.
Didn't you buy anything in an haberdashery?
No.
Oh, someone's talking about you. And you was picking up something and looking at it. Perhaps you didn't buy it. Something to do with material it was. Is that you?
Yeah, my tummy's rumbling, love. I'm sorry.
Well, control it. Oh, on that on his, on the recorder, do we?
Oh, we got it.
Rumbling, people think it's psychic.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's all
right. My old man said, follow the van. Down dizzy daddy on the way. You know that one?
Yes, I know that one.
No, that's not naughty.
No.
It's the way it's sung, isn't it?
No. Oh, dear. You've got Mary Law in there, Mickey. Mm.
Morning, Brother John.
Our little friend is full of good humour and fun.
Yes.
I believe you had to reprimand him. I'm not going to enter into the discussion and argument as to whether one should say this or that in regard to language.
No.
Language, no matter how fine, no matter how descriptive it may be, still doesn't really depict nor describe many aspects of our life here. I have listened to innumerable souls from this side of life who have endeavored to the best of their ability to give you a description of some particular sphere or condition of life in which they find themselves. And I realize, as I'm sure many of them must do, how difficult it is. How can you put into words many of the aspects of life which are normal and natural to us? Words cannot depict nor describe many and many of the varying degrees and conditions of our existence. Oftentimes, a soul in their anxiety and desire to impart information through into your world are at a loss for words, and even when they find words to endeavor to explain or describe, find themselves very much lacking in their description. If we say to you, as we do, that our world is in some respects similar to yours, so it is on the spheres nearer to the earth. If one could take from your world all the things that cause unhappiness, all the things that distress, all the things that are ugly, all the things that cause anguish to the human heart, then perhaps you would have some vague description of the spheres not so far removed from your own. Man, unfortunately, while upon earth, by his thoughts and his actions, has created over the centuries many things which have caused change in nature alone, quite apart from other aspects of self. If you can get away, as sometimes you are able to do, away from the mundane and the ordinary, away from the stress and the strain of the great cities, entering into the beauty and the tranquility and the peace and the harmony of the countryside, then you have some idea as to what our life is like. But even then, many things are changed, many things are different.
Man spoils it, doesn't he?
The pollution that man has brought into being, whether it be in the air which you breathe, or in the seas and the waters, or whether it be in other ways too numerous to mention, man has brought into being a chaotic and an unhappy state of being. And it must be very puzzling for many people in your world when they endeavour to think what our world must be like. There are those, I regret to say, because of their background and their upbringing, and because of the religious aspect of teaching that they have assimilated over time, who imagine that our world is a world composed chiefly in this environment and condition of people who are what is termed loosely religious. They have this idea that they shall be caught up and that they shall be at the right-hand side of the Father, that they shall, in a sense, live in an atmosphere and condition which, by its very nature, to them, would be of happiness.
They get a surprise, don't they?
And yet, my child, how few are they who realize the reality of life after death, of its naturalness, of its beauty, of its great ability to assimilate new experience and knowledge. There is no standing still. There are those who assume, as I've already said, that they shall be in a state, as it were, of constantly praising the Lord, constantly singing, constantly aware only of this biblical or religious aspect of mind and outlook. There are groups of souls, it is true, on certain spheres, who live in a kind of world which is an illusion, where they are gathering together, where they are singing the praises of the Lord, where they are conducting themselves all the time as if they were in some sort of heaven of their own creation, completely and absolutely unaware that their thought forces have made almost a barrier between them and the true realization of life and its possibilities.
How do they get released?
Time, of course, to us is as nothing. And time, in the sense it is true to say, is an illusion. But these peoples of whom I speak have a sense of time. This does not necessarily apply only to those of religious mind and persuasion. But there are many peoples who, without perhaps fully understanding, create an aspect of time, and to them their lives are in some respects similar to when on earth. And for some they may go through a period which has a time aspect within themselves of consciousness, but which has no reality in itself. And eventually some of them, at least, release themselves or are released by the help of others.
I suppose it all depends on the individual.
If a person has a very narrow concept, if a person has strong convictions, that which he believes is right and all else is wrong, then for a time he will live in an environment best suited to himself, and until he begins to think deeply and activate his life in a different direction. He will assimilate only that which he can assimilate by his wishing and his desiring, and you therefore do have many souls who for a time cling to outworn creeds and dogmas, religious aspects, and in their own fashion and way they are happy. But of course there comes a time, eventually, when they begin to think, is this real? Is this really so? Am I being rather foolish? Have I been misled? When they begin to think deeply that they are, as it were, caught up in an atmosphere which they themselves have brought into being, until they can release themselves from these thoughts, they cannot find a greater realization of the meaning and purpose of life beyond that confine which they have created. But we endeavor to help them, souls from various spheres visit and go to these places, these conditions of life, and oft times we are rebuffed and refused, admittance even. And there are indeed many, of course, who welcome us, but not in the sense that they can learn anything from us, or that they would necessarily accept that which we tell them, but their mental aspect is that they want to save us. They say, think that we are fallen angels, or that we are souls who have not grasped the truth of the reality, and in their endeavor and desiring to save us, sometimes a glimmer of light enters. They begin to think and perceive that we have, eventually, they perceive that we have something which is lacking in themselves. For instance, we have a freedom which in the initial stages they resent, and indeed they assume that we, as it were, put on a false front, that we are sometimes trying to deceive them by an outward show. They see the light which encompasses us. They see the auric emanation, as you would term it, around us. And in the instance of some, they begin to wonder if perhaps in some strange way we are from a sphere not only different from their own, but the more advanced. Mm-hmm. The attitude of mind of many of the peoples varying as it must according to themselves. The bigoted and the narrow are the ones, particularly those whom they refer to as the elders, those who, as it were, act in the capacity of the instructors, or yes, those whose task it is, as they see it, to lead. They are the ones who resent us most. I have been to what you would call gatherings where there are thousands of souls, and believe me, they are not unhappy in that state of being. They are extremely happy, but they live in this fictitious false world of illusion which they've created, and they sing all the hymns of their remembrance of past life, and they act in the capacity of a very narrow religious sect or way, and in consequence they build up in a strange, odd kind of way a block barrier. Mm. Not only do you have the individual barrier, but you have the block barrier of thousands of minds all tuned in together. Yes. And that is why they are in a sense of a happy disposition. But gradually it does dawn on some that they are living in a fool's paradise, that they are not progressing in any shape or form, and that many are indeed still waiting for this resurrection day when they shall all be gathered up together and return to earth. Mm. There are still, I regret to say, souls who assume that they will inhabit the earth and they will be the elect. Mm. And there are those who are indeed very puzzled because they have not met God. Yes. They assume that this will not take place until such time as they are returned to earth and their physical bodies are resurrected from the grave, and that they will be reassembled and they themselves will take on shape and form in a material sense. The strange attitudes of mind.
I suppose really what all you said proves that the act of passing into your world isn't necessarily a revealing one.
To some, no. To some, well, I suppose in a sense it would be true to say that there are some who are so blinded, of course, by their own preconceived notions and ideas and their religious convictions and background, through background and upbringing, that they create for themselves this sort of world of illusion, which is very pleasant, as I've already said, to them, and they're quite happy with it. but they are firmly convinced that their particular group or band, or call it what you will, or their sphere of activity of life, which is purely on a religious material basis, strange as it may seem when I say religious and material, because the conception of the spiritual that many of these people have is really basically material in its concept and outlook, and they create this very strong aspect of self and life, and that they enter into this condition in such a way that to them it is the reality, and they, in a sense, they think that they have learned a certain amount, they think that they've assimilated perhaps all that there is to be assimilated. In other words, in a sense, it's true to say that instead of progressing, they're standing still.
Yes.
This is the point which we try to explain to them, that all life must by its very nature be progressive. You cannot stand still. No life can be stagnant. And the tragedy with many of the religious peoples of the world is that they are stagnant. They have taken on to themselves certain tenets. They have accepted certain ideas and theories, a religious consequence in nature. And because they assume that only that and that alone is true, all else is false, and they cling to such an extent to these outworn creeds and what have you, that they cannot, at that time of which I speak anywhere as far as most of them are concerned, they cannot move out of that circle which they've created. Mm-hmm. They are trapped by their own ignorance.
Oh dear. And you know, I think that what you said applies in bulk to that type of person, that most people who go over with fixed ideas are able to release themselves. I always remember Cosmo Lang coming back, who was Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said that the dogma and creed that had been his life, he found, was not necessary.
Yes, well, of course, this is true in many instances, many cases. I would like to clarify this aspect, that there are many souls, of course, who very quickly change their vision, change their outlook, change their thought force.
That's a good job, too.
But there are still, I'm referring not so much to someone like Cosmo Lang, who was a man of education and background, who was a deep-thinking man, who clung perhaps to some extent to the teachings of the church, but I'm thinking more of these people that you call Jehovah's Witnesses and the four-square gospel type of individual, who are rigid, absolutely so rigid in their attitudes of thought and mind appertaining to life after death and appertaining to religion as such, who really believe deep down within themselves that they are the elect.
Yes.
I'm referring much more to these sorts of people.
Yes, I know you are. My mother said a long time ago that the religion, when I asked her on your side, was quite different from earth and much more wonderful.
Well, of course, religion...
Yeah, the gathering.
Yes, but you see, this is a very outworn word. Religion covers a great deal in your world. It covers all manner and kinds of individuals and groups and sects and organizations. Religion... is a word which is used to cover indeed so many different facets in regard to human belief. The real religion, if I can use the word religion, is of the spirit's realization of the power that is within. As Christ himself said, the power within man is the part of man which is indestructible. It is the spirit which by its very nature is enabled to overcome. So many people assume so much that is wrong in connection with their religious aspects. True religion is, to a great extent, the realization that you are part of a great spiritual whole, that you are part of the almighty force which is indestructible, that you are, as it were, an aspect of the reality which is so enormous that no one can possibly grasp it. It seems to me, the realization from within oneself that all that is of good, by its very nature, shall continue and expand and evolve even more and more in the realm of the spirit, and all that is bad, all that is evil, all that is the opposite of that which is of God is destroyed or loses its power in the evolution of the human spirit. A man is more than a man. He is not just a shape and a form. He is part of a great spiritual force which beggars description. when Christ himself said, greater things than these shall you do if I go unto my Father, it was, I would have thought, clearly indicated that in spite of the fact that, so it seems on the surface to mankind, that Christ revealed all or much, that he was able to overcome and achieve all manner and kind of things which are referred to as miracles, that he realized that even that which he did, great though it was, and no one has approached him in this, he knew that the power within all man was there, the same force was animating all God's creatures, and that all these things which he did could be done by others. Once he realized the power of the Spirit, it is the spirit of man that is indestructible. It is the power of the Spirit that overcomes. Mm-hmm. It is the power of the Spirit that makes all things possible. Man is not just shape and form. I know that many would not like to feel that they would not have shape or form, and of course man does continue to have shape and form. Man is recognizable on this side of life. People will recognize their loved ones when they come here. Outwardly they will look as they looked on earth in the prime of their youth. But it alters not the fact that the power of the Spirit within each one will by its very nature begin to expand, and it will begin to assimilate new knowledge, new experience of whatever condition or sphere of life it may find itself. Man must realize that he is more than outward shape and form, that he is not just a person, he is not just as he thinks that he is, as he sees himself in the mirror, or others may see him or know him or think they know him. When a man endeavors to express himself and to show himself to the world, how few are they who can never hope to understand fully any particular individual. That you may see facets or aspects of life of an individual you've known and loved. You can live for a century with an individual and know that person, as you would say, pretty well. But you still do not know many of the facets, many of the aspects of self which cannot be revealed, which cannot be expressed, either in shape or form or by speech. The whole point is that man cannot assimilate in an earthly existence very much. He may assimilate a certain amount, he may be able to do certain things in a certain way according to his light. But nevertheless, the light of the individual while upon earth, by its very nature, though a person may aspire, is still, in comparison to the light of the Spirit, dim.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
With regard to that, because I read in the Psychic News the other day, and I've heard it expressed, that people think that only part of their spiritual self returns to Earth, a certain facet, to learn a particular lesson, and the rest of their spiritual self is still in spirit. Well, I couldn't understand that. In fact, I even know somebody who thinks that they are guided by the rest of their spiritual self while still on earth.
Well, in a way, perhaps it seems inexplicable, and yet there is a basis of truth. If one can see oneself as a vessel, and that into that vessel you can pour so much and no more, so it is that there is all around and about human life this power of the Spirit, which is not necessarily contained in shape or form. It is an animating force, a life-giving force. And it is true to say, I think, that an individual may retain within himself, during his earthly existence, certain aspects of self, which may be able to express and does express itself, and the power that is flowing will be able to be used in various ways and build up by its very self all manner and kind of things which will, as I've already told you, that every man is filled with the Holy Spirit, but he can only be filled so far. But more and more as he progresses, and the more outgiving he is, the more he is expressing this power, so the more he can take unto himself and assimilate. You see, it is difficult, perhaps, for people. They always assume that the Spirit is a direct replica of the physical body. This is not so. The Spirit, by its very nature, is a force or vital part of self, but it is really only an infinite, a very minute part of the whole. What we are talking about, in a sense, is that man is filled by the Holy Spirit, but his shape or his form, his astral, or his counterpart of the material, this is something which is also only an aspect of the reality of self. I know this is where we come into complexity, because there are no words that can really describe. Man has a spiritual body. He has a material body while on earth. But the spiritual body, which animates the material, or should if he is an evolved person, the spiritual body is always being replenished according to the man's aspiration. If an individual on earth is endeavoring to express the power of the spirit from within himself, then his spiritual aspect is such that he will need replenishment, he will need support, he will need a greater vitality of spirit.
Yes,
and then from the outer world of spirit cometh forth through him more revitalizing spiritual power. I wish it were possible to explain this. This is where I think Christ and all the great teachers and prophets of old, where they received their instruction, they received their guidance, they received their power from outside themselves, and the spirit body, or the spiritual aspect of self, was constantly being replenished by new life-giving force.
Well, I suppose that's the law, really.
If man can only see that his physical body is merely the outer shell, the covering, it is only the physical aspect of the spiritual self. And as a man thinketh, and has, as he is, it is because either he lives or thinks and breathes purely in a material way, without any use of the spiritual essence or spiritual vitality from within, it is then that he is enslaved in material matter and thinks and acts accordingly. But when the power of the spirit has allowed its freedom to express itself and animate the material, then you have this fusion between the material and the spiritual. You have a balance, as it were, of an individual who is motivated by the spirit, animated by the spirit. And of course, if this happens, as it should happen in all human life, and it only happens on rare occasions with great souls, then you have a person, a reality of spiritual self that is such that nothing is impossible to it in the material sense. It overcometh the material. It overcomes to such an extent that a man in a material body who is animated by the power of the spirit can walk the waters, can do the miracles that Jesus performed. In other words, can be levitated or lifted up, where the body ceases to lose its material self. Temporarily it may only be, but nevertheless the power of the spirit makes it possible for man to overcome the flesh.
I want to tell you that this last week I put that into practice.
Good.
You know, I had a bad hip and I asked about you.
Yes.
Well, I went shopping and every step was a bit of an agony, and I thought, now this is silly. What would my friend, the Christian Scientist, do? She'd say, there's nothing wrong with my hip. So I said, there's nothing wrong with my hip. And from then on, it's got better.
Because positive thinking.
Every morning I used to get up and say, I'm not the girl I was, you see.
Well, now you should get up every morning and say that you are better and better.
Yes, well, I am.
But you see, this is an aspect of this. Of course, I'm not suggesting for one moment that this can apply to some people of advanced age, because we all have to realize that the machinery and the mechanism, as it were, of the physical body will go through that period of decline, and it will eventually disintegrate. This must be the very nature of things.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the power of the spirit, when it is positive in its thought, can, to a great extent, overcome the deficiencies, or it can overcome the problem of the material.
Yeah.
But I just feel that as you get older, that with your thought force, you can, to a great extent, overcome certain disabilities of a physical nature.
Mm-hmm.
And this we want you, obviously, to try and do with our help and cooperation,
yes,
so that
me.
You can continue to do the work of the Spirit, mm-hmm. that you can uplift and enlighten those who dwell in material darkness, that you may give them light where there is no light, that you may give them strength where there is only weakness, that you may give them hope where there are doubts and fears. Child, You have done great things, greater than you know, by the power of the Spirit. And this work we shall continue to do until such time as you yourself are called to the part of the spiritual home of life eternal. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Do that which thou must do and can do by the power of the Spirit. And know that whatever may transpire, all is well.
Thank you.
My love, my peace, God my blessing be with you. And all who listen to the voice of the Spirit, may they be uplifted and strengthened. May they see the truth as it truly is given. Peace be with you, child.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you all.
I'm sorry if I annoyed you.
You didn't annoy me, dear. You never...